First of all, Professor Shanks, what's wrong in WMAP data according to your analysis?
Well, the surprising thing was that we were looking for systematic effect of the beam, because the telescope, the WMAP telescope, smooths out the CM, the cosmic microwave background map, just in the same way that the atmosphere in the optical band, you know, when you take a picture, it makes the stars look bigger if you have a night of bad seeing.
That's
because
of
the
spinning.
Way the radio telescope that WMAP uses also smears out the features of the map.
Yes.
And the question is, how much does it do that? So what we did was use radio sources which are in the map,
yes,
maybe a few hundred of them, to analyze how they looked in terms of how much they had been smooth. And surprisingly, what we found was that they had been smooth more than the WMAP team are suggesting. And this makes a big problem for their analysis, in that it means that the cosmic microwave background ripples, or acoustic peaks, or whatever you want to call them, the fluctuations in the microwave background that are so important for cosmology,
yes,
they are thought to be quite large, 1 degree size in the microwave maps. And maybe that large size is caused by a wider than expected effect of the smoothing of the telescope.
Yes.
And maybe in actual fact, the actual ripples are something like factor of 50%, factor of 2 smaller.
And what impact could this lack of accuracy in a way have on dark matter and dark energy?
Well, the standard model of cosmology, which includes cold dark matter and dark energy, it is actually the model that predicts the largest scale for these fluctuations in the microwave background maps. And so if the actual ripples are much smaller, then other models may fit which may not need dark energy or dark matter. And many people would be interested in this, particularly if we could get rid of the dark energy component, because many people find that uncomfortable in terms of the fine-tuning that it represents, and it makes the model very complicated.
So maybe, I don't know, but that we already know 100% of the universe and we don't know it.
Well, if the standard results are correct, then we think it's 70% dark energy, 30%, just under 30%, cold dark matter, exotic particles, and then a few percent to make up to 100, the ordinary matter that, you know, makes up you and me. But this is a very complicated model. Everything is, all those components have about the same mass density to within factor of a few, and there's no real explanation for why the universe divides up so neatly into almost exactly the same amounts of dark energy, dark matter, and ordinary matter.
Yes.
And so it would be much simpler if there were fewer components in the model.
Yes.
Because the dark energy is, of course, something which has to have new physics. And, of course, the cold dark matter particle has not yet been detected in the laboratory, yeah, although there have been great efforts to try and find it.
And how could Planck help to clarify this ambiguity, in your opinion?
Well, Planck, the smoothing that the Planck telescope makes is supposed to be much less than the WMAP telescope. And so it will give a new estimate of the microwave background ripple size, which may be less dependent on modeling this smoothing effect than the WMAP result was. And so that may be an independent check of the previous results.
So you are looking forward to seeing Planck data, I suppose.
Yes, although it will have, it could have similar problems, but that's still not clear yet. It needs to work out how much it will actually smooth the map. It is supposed to be better, but it's not proven yet. And of course, with our radio source technique, those radio sources will be in the Planck map, the same as it is in the WMAP maps. And therefore, we should be able to check their result in the same way that we've checked the W, or we've tested the WMAP result.
Is the problem at its basis caused by the satellite scanning strategy? I mean, the spinning.
Now, that's a very good question. Planck does have a different scanning strategy than WMAP, and so in some ways, see WMAP. They scan the same point on the sky, they scan through it many times. So their smoothing, they can sort of assume that everything will be symmetric at that point. Everything, the smoothing will be circularly symmetric. It will look the same from every direction. Whereas Planck has a, they scan the sky in a different way, so that a particular point on the sky only gets scanned maybe two or three times, and so they cannot assume that their smoothing is as symmetric as the WMAP people can. So this could be a problem for them, or it could be an advantage. It certainly makes it different, and therefore it will be an independent test of these previous results.
Yes, a final question. How did you happen to be the first after so many years to find this kind of discrepancy in WMAP data? I mean, why the WMAP team, in your opinion, didn't realize it before?
Well, the difficulty is it's very hard data to analyze, and it takes a long while for outsiders to check these results. The great thing about WMAP is that they make public all of their data. So it allows independent astronomers to see what they think the results are and to test the results for themselves. And so, quite honestly, it's taken us maybe 4 or 5 years to get enough experience with the WMAP data to be able to analyze, you know, to get these results. And that's the explanation for why it's taken so long. But some microwave background satellites, the data is still not public, even after maybe 10 years. And so WMAP are to be congratulated, you know, for their openness. And I hope the same will be true ultimately, at least of the Planck data, that they will allow independent people to analyze it.
Thank you very much. And let's see the reaction of the scientific community. So
thank you very much for your interest.